Hey, it's Fina. Hope you enjoyed the last episode. If you haven't listened to it, you should go check out the first three episodes of the series. They give a lot of good background info, and you get to listen to some seriously interesting conversations. Today, we're going to talk to a CEO of the biggest subscription-based botting service in Final Fantasy XIV. This is your final reminder that botting is illegal. Do not bot in Final Fantasy XIV. You can get banned. There is swearing in this episode, so if you don't want to let your kids hear it, now's the time to swap to another episode of this podcast. If you're the kid, I'm not your mom, and I won't tell you what to do. Besides botting, don't bot kids. Now then, enjoy the show. Let's do a quick recap. People bot in Final Fantasy XIV. You can bot your gathering and crafting. You can bot to level your classes. You can even bot your rotation in Savage. There are two big subscription-based botting services available: Reborn Buddy and MMO Minion. Last week, we talked to Tim, who wrote Magitech, a bot based on Reborn Buddy. This week, we'll talk to someone from the MMO Minion side. Are you okay with me asking someone to read this out for the podcast?
Sure. Please do as you like with whatever I wrote here.
These are the different communities of Final Fantasy XIV. I'm Fina Braveheart. This is Tales from PF. The first thing I try to do when I learn about MMO Minion is to find the person behind it. Who's running the show? How are they doing it? I tried to reach out to someone from the company who would be interested in talking to me in a bunch of different ways. I emailed customer support, I visited their Discord, I tried messaging a few engineers on LinkedIn who said they worked for the company. No dice. So I kind of gave up and I thought, you know what, I'll come back to it later. A week later, I got a response.
Hello, Fina. Thanks for your email, and sorry for the super slow reply. I'd be happy to give you some answers to your questions, but my, and actually all our main issue, is sadly a huge lack of time. However, I'd be happy to give you some answers in Discord chat, where I can reply with some delay. Best regards. Stefan.
And included is a Discord invite link. I was in. I excitedly started messaging him over the next few weeks or so. Since our conversation was via text, I've asked a friend who graciously agreed to voice Stefan so you guys can hear the interview. I guess my first question to you would be this. Is MMO Minion currently the biggest bot on the block for Final Fantasy XIV?
From what I know, there is only Reborn Buddy, or what's left over of them, and us. So yes, Minion should be the largest there is. We have around 15 to 20 independent developers who fill all the coding and add-on needs for whatever makes sense to automate in Final Fantasy XIV. A rather interesting fact is, although there is for sure a part of our customers who purely bot for gil with the goal to sell it afterwards, the majority of users simply want to make playing the game a little easier. From assist tools, be it visually or automating spell rotations, to reducing the grind on some things in the game. We regularly have people with handicaps who are quite happy that they can play the game normally thanks to our tools.
Aww, that's a very wholesome fact. How did you get into this business? Have you just always been botting?
How we got into this business? I guess we always loved to automate repetitive tasks. We had fun in writing logic and routines that looked as human as possible. This was all just a little hobby we had back then during our study times. I think the first game was a very old one. Warhammer Online, a PvP-based online MMO. From there we went to Rift, yet another MMO, and then I think it started with Guild Wars 2, Elder Scrolls Online, and Final Fantasy XIV. The project slowly developed over the years, We always wanted to have something better than what was currently out there. Most users were always very unhappy with usability in general, super complicated purchases, licensing, updates to the systems, etc.
What makes MMO Minion different from your competitors?
We want happy customers, and we are not out for the quick money or even scamming users. When it comes to refunds, we have a refund policy, but in 90% of the cases, we go beyond that. I'm sure most users will confirm that our community is a very friendly one, and the vast majority of our customers are happy with the products that we provide. I think what makes MMO Minion better is that we do have a little bit higher quality in our toolset, like our navigation system. Although I'm fully aware that there is a lot that can be done better or improved, and if I had the chance to roll everything back 5 years, I'd do a lot of things differently. But right now, we work with what we have, and we are trying to improve a lot of things that we have on the back end. The main issue is still not having enough time to do everything that we want to.
Can you talk about how much money you guys make doing this?
For obvious reasons, I cannot tell you about the money part. But let's just say it pays the bills, and we can all enjoy working on what we love instead of having to do some other boring 9-to-5 job.
I checked the terms and conditions page of the MMO Minion webpage, and immediately saw this line. The content found on this site is the copyrighted property of Raving Lunatic Software, SPZOO, and or its third-party providers and distributors. So now we have a name to investigate, Raving Lunatic Software. Raving Lunatic Software is a Poland-based tech company. In the financial year 2020, the company claimed $1.4 million in net sales revenues. Net sales revenue is the amount of money you get from sales of goods without accounting for the cost to produce the goods itself and the operating expenses. This is what I was able to infer from the business registry, but I need to have a disclaimer. I am not familiar with Polish accounting practices. The United States of America used GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, and the rest of the world used IFRS, International Financial Reporting Standards. Because of this, I don't think I can reasonably say what these values mean or what is going on with the finances of this company. Sure sounds like we're working with a lot of money though. Oh wow, that sounds like a really amazing job. How many people are currently on your team? Did it just start out as you?
We have 3 to 4 people, which have been around since day one.
Wow, that's actually a very small core team for the company. You mentioned that there were 15 to 20 independent developers. Are these the add-ons that are available in your third-party store? How much of a cut do they get to take?
Yes, the other developers are creating all the add-ons in the store. We take 25% of their sales for providing and keeping up the systems and API and adding the functions that they need for their add-ons. The rest is theirs.
I'm not sure what the common cut for the botting industry is, because the other big company, Bossland, aka Reborn Buddy, does not support its third-party developers, and don't even allow for advertising on their official forums. Outside of the industry, we know that Steam takes a 30% cut, while Apple Store takes 30% from large companies and 15% cut from smaller companies. Is your company looking to expand into any other game besides Final Fantasy in the future?
Yes, we'll add more games, but the small team does not allow us to make big jumps. ESO Minion is coming soon, and we've been working on it aside for a few months now. Should be out in a few days or weeks.
Do you still play these games? Or is it mostly very busy with business these days?
I love to play the games, but I honestly have no time for that anymore. My real life doesn't allow me to do 70 hours a week anymore, like when we started.
What are your future goals for MMO Minion?
Future goals? Nothing in particular. Improving the service, making it more user-friendly, Like right now, I'm working on a general system to allow all the translations we need in-game for all the add-ons.
Have you ever encountered resistance from Final Fantasy XIV / Square Enix when running your service? My understanding is that Final Fantasy, compared to other large MMOs, doesn't have as much server-side checks or security features to prevent botting.
To our surprise, Square Enix does not do anything against botting, at least so far. They are aware of the ongoing costs and problems that come with implementing a client or server-side detection routine. There are many legal problems they can face when being too invasive, and in the end, it really is a cat-and-mouse game. The best a game company can do is to implement some smart algorithm on their servers that analyzes behavior and data from all clients. It is the best way to find the actual bots, but this comes with a price tag on it. On the other side, there are many players who simply use our tools just to make the game a little more enjoyable. MMOs like this require you to put so many hours into the game, it is not compatible with a lot of lives. Square Enix also gains a lot from having these people around. They are part of the community. They fill the game with paying players. Square Enix banning actual bots, which farm for gil only, is also somewhat good for them. They buy new accounts and pay a monthly sub. We don't offer exploits or game-breaking hacks, although we have stumbled over such things quite often in the past, but we don't add those to our tools on purpose.
To my understanding, MMO Minion is able to show invisible AoEs in the game. Did you develop this by yourself or was a third party involved? Specifically speaking, have you ever worked with NiiNii technology?
I'm not really involved in that. From what I remember, there are two kinds of AoEs. Ones that are events in-game, or we found some other cast or spell information in the client, and the other ones are coming from network packets, from the servers, so to say. From what I know, our devs wrote all that math and drawing by themselves. I've never heard of this other company.
Personally, I feel like a mod that shows invisible AoEs is definitely a game-breaking hack. But maybe there are worse hacks out there than I thought. Showing invisible AoEs is a very powerful tool and will help someone who is doing hard content a whole lot, because you can now see what's coming and position yourself accordingly, rather than having to learn by heart where the safe spot to stand is. Overall, this has been great to explore. I still don't think I would ever bot, because I think Final Fantasy XIV is a game that respects your time a lot. A lot of the grind is optional. In fact, you can almost argue that all the grinds are optional. Relic weapons, resistant weapons, mounts, titles. I don't need to do any of them to experience the story the way it's intended. And I don't need to do any of those content either for Savage or Ultimate. In that sense, I think I would end up really bored if I bought. There would be no sense of accomplishment at all. And I wouldn't enjoy the game as much as I would otherwise. I enjoy working on them whenever I have time, and the process of grinding together with friends or doing it alone while watching Netflix is a relaxing moment of the day that I look forward to. But I mean, that's my opinion. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments how you feel about botting in Final Fantasy XIV.
I like to think of botting or just cheaters being allowed to do what they do and get away with it, because botting is a form of cheating. Every cheater that gets away with something takes a little of the heart out of a game. It's like taking from the heartwood of a tree. If you do it over and over and over again, eventually the tree dies. It's the same with a game. If the game's integrity is ruined too much from too many people cheating, it ruins the integrity, the feel, the je ne sais quoi, the special sauce of a game gets ruined if too many people are being allowed to cheat.
Sit there for a minute with a fucking macro and you get like three pots. It's like, holy shit, dude. And like, that's gone in one pull. It's like, oh my God. Like, I sat there like doing nothing for a minute in game to be gone in like one raid pull. We don't fucking craft. We're not sitting around like gathering. We're fucking raid logging. We log on, raid, use our pots, and then go off, play a League of Legends or something else, right? So if it's cheaper, it's better for us. Like bot, modding's the way to go.
I only got involved with this stuff truly just for fun. So just going through and being able to have something that you're doing just for fun, but then be able to see that impact on others and see how that can like lift them and enable them to go do something that they couldn't do before. Like, I mean, that's amazing. That's just a great feeling.
Special thanks to Steph and Karsten for appearing in this episode, and for Mitt Blatte, who voiced him. This show is made by me, the player who can dodge invisible AoEs but run into the dead wall, Vina Braveheart. Music is provided by Eric Matthias at soundimage.org. This is the final episode of Season 1 for Tales from PF. Thank you so much for giving it a listen. If you've listened to all four of them, thank you so, so, so much. This was a really fun topic to explore and dive into, and it means a lot to me that you took the time out of your day to listen to the podcast. Thank you so much to all my friends who cheered me on and helped me out. I owe you guys a lot. If you enjoyed the show, show it to someone. Drop the name in your FC chat. Throw the link at your friends in the Discord and tell them to check it out. Leave me a review and a like. I would love to hear from you guys. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at FinaBrave. Medic also Medic is, and I quote, fucking invincible. See you in Season 2. Take care and have a safe journey.